Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo. Today, I have a special and a recent Firebird Book Award winner to share with you. She is Michelle Leah Rahal, and the winning book is titled, Are You Listening? A Guide to Recognizing and Responding to God's Voice. Her first book, Straining Forward, was published in 2018. Prior to this, she wrote educational reports and articles at the local, state, and national level. Her writing focus took this 180-degree turn when she felt God's call to write for Him instead. And she now writes a monthly blog titled A Glimpse of Holy, which guides readers toward recognizing God's presence by focusing on God's goodness. Her second book, Are You Listening? A Guide to Recognizing and Responding to God's Voice, is her most recent and the Firebird Book Award winner. We are about to find out so much more. Welcome to the network, Michelle.
Thank you, Pat. It's a joy to be here.
It's a joy to have you here as well. So congratulations on winning the Firebird Book Award. I'm always happy to share that kind of news.
Well, I am honored. Thank you.
Yes. You know, I read in your bio that you wrote educational reports. On what topics?
Testing, actually. I was the director of testing for a large school district, and then I wrote for a while for Educational Research Services and did some contract work with the state and with the federal government. And so it had to do with testing and assessment.
Wow, how did that even come about?
Oh, well, my background is actually in education. So after I graduated from college, I worked in radio while I put myself through a master's program for education. And I was in education for over 20 years.
Okay. Yeah, and you were also a former news radio anchor. I love that.
That was fun for a small radio station, but it got me comfortable in front of a mic, which has paid off.
And, you know, most people, if you put a microphone in front of them, well, you know how public speaking is supposed to be. So to speak extemporaneously and you see that microphone, it's like, oh, what do I say?
And where do I hold it? Right? People don't know how to hold one either. And here you are doing it every week. Your show is wonderful, by the way.
Thank you. So easy
to speak with.
Well, I appreciate that. My very first time I went to the radio station and, you know, you see all of the equipment and the people look scary and they all look like they know what they're doing. And I thought, okay, let me give this a whirl. And it kind of gets in your blood. I love it.
Yeah. And we all can become comfortable with anything if you do it enough, right?
Absolutely. For sure. Yeah. All righty. Well, before we dig into your books, maybe go back and share what caused you to do that 180 turn and change your writing focus.
Oh, well, I would say that God led me there. I'm a member at a rather large church, and one day a woman at my church gave a testimony from her childhood. She was born and raised in Vietnam. And she gave this testimony with this strong Australian accent, even though she was Vietnamese. But through her broken English, she told us that she had witnessed her father's execution during the Tet Offensive. She was shot in the head. She was 11 years old. She survived. She went on to be abused as a child. She attempted to escape the country, was imprisoned and tortured, eventually got out. Long story short, she became the third Asian woman in America to be ordained a Presbyterian pastor. And I went up to her after she gave this testimony, and the words that came out of my mouth were, I want to write your story. And I had no plan to say that, but I have had experience where I've spoken words that I know the Spirit has spoken for me. Mm-hmm. So I took it seriously, and over the next 5 years, I interviewed Min, and we put her book together and created her memoir, Straining Forward. So it's her story of how God saw her through this horrific life and brought her to glorify him as a pastor.
You know, can you even imagine that all of that could happen to one single person?
No. And in the book, too, I write, I highlight five places where she should have died. Mm-hmm. She truly should have passed, but God kept her alive for a reason, for a purpose. And so, yeah, just look back and say, how can one person go through so much? You know that God is overseeing their life.
Absolutely. Michelle, did she agree right away when those words came out of your mouth? What was her reaction, and did you have to spend time speaking with her about it for a while? How did she react to that?
She laughed at me. She laughed. And I did too, and I just walked away. But I ran into her at church maybe 3 or 4 months later, and I felt this gut feeling that I had to say something to her again. So I pursued her for about 3 to 4 years before she consented to letting me write it.
Really?
Yes, yes. And she reluctantly, I will tell you that, she reluctantly let me, gave me permission to write it. And it took a while to create a feeling of trust between the two of us so that she knew that I was not going to mishandle her mm-hmm. sacred story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it took a while. It was a work in progress.
Oh, I can understand that. After all she had been through, I would imagine trust was a real delicate thread for her. Oh, my. So that book is titled Straining Forward.
Yes, and it's been picked up by Travis Payne Productions, and they are trying to turn it into a screenplay. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed for that one. Who knows, maybe someday it'll be on the big screen.
Wow, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, it would be.
Talk about a guide to recognizing and responding to God's voice. You did, and you pursued it. It wasn't like you gave up after the first question. You kept after that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I thought I was going to be one and done. I thought God was just calling me to write that one book, and I was through. But as I went around speaking about that book, it became obvious that people were encouraging me to write another, but I thought, not unless God tells me. But through prayer, I just felt that God was saying, yeah, you've got another book in you. Mm-hmm. And so in prayer one day, it came to me that he wanted me to write about how he speaks to people. And so that produced the second book, which is Are You Listening?
Mm-hmm. A Guide to Recognizing and Responding to God's Voice. Well, maybe give us a peek. Share some of what you learned and what you want others to know.
I'm going to read you, if that's okay,
just
a little excerpt from the preface,
which
I think kind of gives the book a good introduction, which is, ancient civilizations attributed unexplainable situations to the actions of the gods. They were attuned to the spiritual realm, which was very real to them. In today's world, however, we rely on science and logic to define the unexplainable. We attribute success to our own hard work. We write opportunities off as luck. We define chance meetings as serendipitous. Has the pendulum swung too far to the other side? Is it possible that we give logic too much credit and God too little? So this book is basically about how God speaks, how he's spoken in the past, and how he still is speaking to people today, and how we can tune our spiritual eyes and ears into his communication style in the way that the ancients used to look for it and listen for it.
You know, and that's not an easy thing to convince many people that it's God speaking. As you said, most people like to attribute it to a coincidence or, you know, something else that can't be explained. How do you bring people in? How do you speak to them so that they can understand or maybe give that thought a possibility that it is God speaking?
Yeah, good question. Well, I will tell you that I approached it in the book very slowly. it's full of stories, and both biblical and modern day stories. So each chapter is set up that it's theme oriented. So, for example, the Bible talks about how God used an audible voice to speak to some of his people. And And today, he still speaks audibly, and so I've put in some real-life stories that are audible. He speaks to people through dreams in the Bible, and today he still communicates with people through dreams. And I found those people who hear God that way and have included their stories. But the ongoing thread throughout the entire book is setting it up. The book is set up so that as you read, you go, huh, are you sure that's not a coincidence? Mm-hmm. And then as you keep reading, you go, I think maybe this author's onto something. Mm-hmm. Maybe this really is God speaking. And the book encourages you to think of those own moments in your life where something strange happened, and maybe it was God speaking. So can you look at that? And as you get closer toward the end, it really draws you into the fact that the only way to really know if it's God's voice is to know God. Mm-hmm. How else do you recognize a voice? Like, I would recognize my husband's voice in a crowd. I know him. Right? And so the book is set up to help you be encouraged to get to know the Lord and to go into Scripture and read and get to know Him, and get to know the Lord's character, so that if He does reach out, whether it's verbally or in a dream or in a sign, that you would recognize it as God.
Right. When you were writing this, were you writing it for yourself? Did you have an intended audience? What was going through your mind as you were putting the words on paper?
I wrote it. I had an intended audience, but I would tell you that I at one point fit into that audience, which was really complacent Christians, Christians who are comfortable in their worship style or the way they acknowledge God. You know, so many people go to church on Sundays and then forget about Him the rest of the week. Or there's people who say, yes, I'm a Christian, but they don't even step foot in a church or never pray unless they're really in desperate need of something. So I would call that a complacent Christian, just someone who just kind of glides through life without a deeper desire to know God personally. Mm-hmm. And that was once me. Mm-hmm. So I wrote this book to show that God is always standing by. He's always calling our name. He's wanting us to enter into a relationship with Him. And if we are open to that and desire that, then beautiful things will happen.
Going back to what you were saying before about the coincidences and just the little things that happen that you attribute to, oh my, that was wild. I had an interview, and this was several years ago, with a woman who wrote a book after her young daughter passed away. Mm. And the book was about God winks. And maybe that was even the title, God winks. And so she was talking about different things that had happened to her that she knew was a God wink from her daughter. And what was very interesting that day, it was about a half hour before I was supposed to interview her. And obviously I had done research and thought about her and looked at her book and was having her on my mind. Her daughter was giving her these God winks through butterflies and moths. Mm-hmm. So about a half hour before our interview, I was downstairs in the kitchen, and plastered against my kitchen window was this beautiful green rare Luna moth.
Oh my.
And mm-hmm. it stayed there. It didn't move. It was just stuck to my window. It wasn't hurt or anything. It was just mm-hmm. there for me. Mm-hmm. And so when I talked to this woman as I began to interview her, I said, you know, this is very unusual. There's this Luna moth that is on my kitchen window. And she said, oh my, you know, you very seldom see Luna moths, but that was one of her daughter's favorite butterfly moths. Yeah.
No coincidence. See, no. And you recognize that, mm-hmm. but other people would not even recognize that. Oh, what's that moth doing on my window? And they go out there with the fly swatter, you know, but given the situation you were in, you put the two pieces together, mm-hmm. right? And it is a God wink. Yeah. And I think the more we pursue the Lord the more he reveals himself to us, mm-hmm. right? And we notice him more. We're able to communicate and notice him more.
Wow. Yeah, that was just a stunning moment for me because Luna moths, I've never seen one before and I've never seen one since. So
I've never seen one.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Go on the internet now and look it up.
Look them up. They're beautiful. They're large and they've got little circle eyes on the wings. They're quite lovely. Yeah, very, very special. So not a coincidence at all. So what has the feedback been from readers who have read your book?
It's been very positive. It's got 5-star rating on Amazon. And what I'm mostly hearing is that I have rekindled something in Christians. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest compliment that that I can receive is to know that someone is feeling drawn to the Lord again, you know, because I think we do have a tendency to get comfortable in whatever situation we're in with our faith. You know, whatever works for us, we just keep doing it. You know, if going to church on Sunday is your thing and that's good enough, then that's good enough. Why should you take a Bible study class? Mm-hmm. Right? But God does call us to keep pursuing him so that he can renew our faith daily. Yeah.
And you're right. That's do get complacent until something happens, whether it's a health crisis
right.
or something where you think, oh my.
Yes. And in addition to complacent, you can also be rigid in your faith. You've been raised in a certain faith, and so you stick to that, right? There's no gray. That's black and white. Your way is the right way, and there's no other way. But, you know, Jesus came to earth to say that the kingdom is open to anyone who just believes in him. And so, you know, he's willing to talk to anyone. You don't have to be in a certain faith or follow a certain ritual, because he's more creative than that. He'll go to extremes to get your attention.
And, you know, I know people who feel like, I don't know, maybe they're not good enough or they're not worthy or they don't know how to have a relationship. There's so many reasons, I think, why people would pull back. Do you find that?
Oh, very much so. And I think especially in today's society, it's more so that they're just distracted. They don't have time. They can't fit it in. So whether they feel unworthy or they just can't make it a priority, there's so many excuses why not to pursue God. But life is so much richer if you know that there's a plan and you can just lean into the big picture that you don't have to be in charge of and just follow the flow. When you get in that flow, there's a peace, as the Bible says, a peace that passes understanding. And it just makes life easier. Yeah.
And I think there's another piece to it where people might think there's a right way and a wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. since they don't know which is right and if there is a right way, they just don't.
Yeah, and there is no right way or wrong way. I would say that Jesus is the way, but to worship him and love him and to follow the commands that are they're very clear in the Bible and to just be in communication, I don't think he's all that interested in what we're wearing to church as he is in are we going to church? Mm-hmm. Or all that interested in where we spend our money, provided we're using our money to help others. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at our heart. He's not looking at the outside things that the world would look at.
Right. And then what about the thought of, well, can you have a relationship with God and not go to church, or can it only be in that house of worship?
I think you can have a relationship with God outside of it, but I think there is strength in community, and it keeps us committed to the purpose of a religion. We can stray so very easily if we don't have accountability and support from an outside community. And I will be the first to say that there are many churches out there who follow the wrong doctrine in that it's not scriptural. But there are many churches that are good and faithful and have communities that will rally around you and support you in times of need and give you an opportunity to rally around others mm-hmm. in their times of need. And, you know, Jesus didn't walk alone. He picked 12 disciples to walk with him. And we should do the same. We should not be isolated from other Christians.
Thank you. Thank you for answering that question. I've heard that from many people.
I now even find that when I go on vacation, even though I'm not with my own church community, I'm craving to worship with others. Mm-hmm. So even when I'm on vacation, I'll go find a church and, mm-hmm. and attend on a Sunday just to feel the Spirit sure. with other believers.
Yep, I get that.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, now let's talk about your cover. I always love cover art. So tell us how that came about.
Well, my cover, with my publisher, we went through some cover designs and I wasn't thrilled with them. I wanted a picture that drew you in, that showed the vastness of God and the intimacy of God. And I was drawn to nature, but I didn't know what. You know, what mountains, a river, I don't know. Anyway, my cover designer from my publisher came back with three designs that just did not resonate with me. And so one day I was on the internet scrolling through my Facebook posts, and I came across my photographer, the gentleman who took my headshot. And he had posted some photos saying that he was having a sale. And I knew he took headshots, but I did not know that he took outdoor photos as well, these beautiful landscape photos. His name is Richard Fraser. And so I found one on his website that I thought, oh my gosh, that's perfect. So I called him and I said, Richard, could I have one of your photos for the cover of my book? And he was more than happy to share with me. So both my headshot and my cover photo for my cover were done by Richard Fraser. And so I'll give him a shout out.
That's a great story. Covers are so difficult. So, you know, you had an idea that you wanted it to look, to portray the vastness, yet the intimacy of it. And then you can either get too literal with it, where it just kind of hits you in the face, or it could be so abstract that nobody knows what it is. But I thought that yours did evoke the feeling that you were trying to impart.
Oh, thank you, Pat. I appreciate that.
Yes, you did well with that. It's so funny, again, how, well, maybe God was speaking to you. You knew what you didn't want, and here you were randomly on Facebook, and you found what you did want.
Oh, yeah, I will take that as a God sighting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me right there.
I love that. So what's next? Are you working on a second book of similar topic?
Not there yet. I have 5 or 6 ideas. So I will sit and pray over them when I'm ready to write, but I'm pretty sure there's a third book in my future. So, but for right now, I'm just writing my weekly newsletter and weekly blogs, and just looking, keeping my eyes open for where God reveals.
Where you go next?
Yeah. Up to him.
Well, I enjoy your blog. I think I might have mentioned to you before, I enjoyed your Gray with Grace little article there.
Thank you. Yes, God can use us at whatever age we're at, right? So I'm in my 60s and he's still using me.
With colored hair or not, right?
Colored hair or not, that's right. It's easier if I don't have colored hair.
Oh my gosh, that is such a challenge to keep up with. That is like, all right, what color do I go so you don't notice that it's gray? Or maybe do I take the plunge and just go with gray?
Just go with gray.
Gray with grace.
Thank you.
Oh yeah. I also see on your website that you are a writing coach. So you work with others. Maybe give us a peek into that in case some folks might need that kind of assistance.
Okay. I'm certified as a writing coach through Hope Writers, which is a, a Christian writing organization. And I work one-on-one with would-be authors who have an idea but really just don't know how to execute it and bring it to publication. And we'll work through their platform, design, content, distribution, a little bit of marketing, but I coach them through it. They do all the work. I just meet with them and talk through their next steps, and then they go and do the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, similar to, as you say, going to church to have a support system, it's the same thing with writing. You need to have, I think, some kind of a support, accountability, and so I'm happy to hear that you offer that. Yes.
Yes, so true. I think so many people think that being an author or being a writer is something you do alone, but it's actually a team sport. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need a cover designer. You need an editor. You know, you need someone who's, you just need an audience who's responding and saying, yeah, this resonates with me, or I don't get this, right? So it takes a team. It takes a team to get a book out there.
It really does. And that's what I appreciate a bit. I don't always appreciate social media, but when it comes to the author community, I find that people are very supportive, and at least you could see and hear and feel some of the things other authors are going through, so you know that you're not alone.
That's so true. And everybody gets stuck at a different place. Mm-hmm. And so we're stronger together than we are separate.
All the way around. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Michelle, anything we missed that you wanted to highlight today?
No, but I know of your pillowcase ministry, and I just wanted to share that once a week I volunteer at a homeless shelter to teach a Bible study. And so if anybody out there is wondering about how can I take a first step toward hearing or recognizing God in my life, go somewhere and serve. Do something that puts you in a place of service, because God is always present when he sees you working in the world for the good of others.
Mm-hmm. So true. I'm glad you mentioned that. Just the relationships. There's just so much to be gained, not only on their part, but on yours, the person who's actually doing the service.
So true. Mm-hmm. So I come away each week with more than I give, I'm sure.
Yes. Sure. Absolutely. That's the beauty of paying it forward and putting yourself out there. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you. And thank you for what you do every Friday. That's just a beautiful thing.
Oh, it's an honor.
It is. Thank you. It is. All right. Well, if you would, then share any and all contact information where folks can find out more and get copies of your book, Straining Forward, and the second, Are You Listening? A Guide to Recognizing and Responding to God's Voice.
Okay. Well, everywhere, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or my website, it's all my name, which is Michelle with two L's, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, Layer, my maiden name, L-A-Y-E-R, Ray Hall, my married name, R-A-H-A-L. And that's my call name anywhere you go. And I have a weekly newsletter where I highlight stories of God sightings. Every Wednesday it comes out. And so if anyone would like to receive that for inspiration and encouragement, they can sign up for that on my website or via the link on LinkedIn.
Oh, that's excellent. That's so great that you do that. It takes time for you to prepare that and get that out there. So it's MichelleLayerRayHall.com. And after today's conversation, I'm sure there's going to be many people that will be inspired to become non-complacent. How's that?
Oh, I love it. That'd be wonderful. Yeah, let's just all unify under the umbrella of God and be the body of Christ together.
You are a blessing. Thank you so much, Michelle, for today.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it. You have a lovely day.